Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today, we're going to talk about the Great Molasses Flood. How you like that topic, Brandy?
The Great Molasses Flood just fills me with excitement.
Well, it was a flood that occurred in 1919 in Boston. Ooh. In which a 50-foot tank containing 12.3 million gallons or 14 tons of molasses burst and flooded the north end of Boston.
Is it the worst molasses tragedy in history?
I think so. I mean, I didn't really research other molasses disasters.
Other molasses tragedies. Well, feels like a slight on your part.
So when I think of molasses, I think of syrup, right?
If you've ever been out to the Frisch's Breakfast Ball with Renee, you will see the Great Molasses Flood because she puts syrup on everything.
That's syrup. It's
hash
not molasses.
Browns, eggs, pancakes.
There's
whatever's on the plate gets molasses.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between, they're similar in their texture, is what I was saying. But anyway, we're going to talk about it in a minute. But let me remind everyone that we are a comedy podcast. We astride to be a comedy podcast. And sometimes we use adult language.
We put we in air quotes.
Because it's really Brandy that uses adult language.
Yes.
And it was quite different last week because Brandy wasn't on the show because her neighbors changed their internet password. Mm. So there was very little cussing last week, Colonel.
Very little.
Brandy is a freeloader, no spaces.
Very little. There was an air of dignity to the show, I would say, that has been absent for quite some time, Timmy.
Yeah. Yeah. But Brandy's is back, so.
Brandy's back to class the place up, Timmy, and only in a way only Brandy can do, Timmy.
Well, she helps us reach, you know, the common man. Because, Colonel, you and I, you know, we draw in the intellectual types.
We do get the academics and the a lot of college students that are we're basically the Ben Shapiro's and Jordan Petersons of comedy podcasting, Tim.
Yeah, you are. That's great. So, first of all, before you go through your whole spiel, I want everybody to know that we can see each other now. And so we've got our cameras turned on, and Tim, I can see, I have this great picture of his chandelier in his room. One of Timmy's eyes coming out the bottom of the corner screen. We got that going. And Snoop Dogg over here, Chuck, is like he's in a hookah lounge. I mean, it's just smoking. And just, so, I mean, it's been a hot minute since we've been able to see each other and record. So I just want everybody to know that this is what we're dealing with today. So it's going to be a good time.
But my hair is in place.
Well, mine is not.
And we're also joined by producer Thad, who is hanging out with us today.
Hey.
Lucky bastard.
I'm excited to be here. Yeah. I've been, I'm real excited about the Women's World Cup coming up. That's one of the big sporting events that I'm into. And it starts in July, and I think the United States women are favored to win. So
they should be, and then Megan's going to retire.
Yeah, Megan Rapinoe's going to retire at the end, and we've got local talent on that team from Cincinnati. Rose Lavelle, she's still playing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about her.
Yeah,
I don't know
she's
why.
Still playing. And I think what I saw this morning, over the last 8 World Cups, the United States has won 4. And if they win this year, they'll be the first team ever to three-peat a World Cup. So.
Well,
that's something to look for.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem with women's soccer, Colonel. And I know you agree with this. They don't usually have big breasts, Colonel.
Well, is it the chandelier that's saying that?
I will be more excited about this, Timmy, if they wore the volleyball uniforms that the U.S. Women Olympic team wore.
Yeah.
Well, what?
I'm just saying. Big-breasted women are underrepresented.
They are underrepresented in major sports.
Yes, we are. Because it gets difficult to run bases with big knockers. You got to strap that shit down. So, I mean...
Think of your audience, though.
For those of us that are very good at our sport, you know, you make do.
Well, let me say, this week's episode is sponsored by Black Academy on Etsy.
Goddammit,
Etsy.com.
Remember what Shelly said. It's like Betsy, but take off the B.
That's Black Academy on Etsy.com for all your home decor needs. Use code DWEEB15 for 15% off all of your purchases.
Is that real?
Yeah, it's real.
Oh, I might need some shit.
But they
definitely need to check out.
They will not give you 50% if you do DWEEB/50.
No, you gotta do DWEEB 15. Not
DWEEB 15.
DWEEB 15, not dash DWEEB 15. And no, they don't give you more if you put a 50 DWEEB 50 on there, they're not gonna give you 50% off. But
algorithm will catch me.
Wait a minute.
You saw it. Like you could just put any discount in there you want.
You people are fucking idiots. Listen, we're doing an advertisement, so you want to make it very clear. DWEEB 15, not anything that Chuck said. DWEEB 15 will get you 15% off at the Etsy site.
Okay. Black Cat and me.
Black Cat and me.
Okay.
Thank you, Etsy.
Brandy. Thank you,
yes,
Brandy.
Yes, you're welcome. It has to be clear if you're advertising, you dipshits.
Well.
Well,
since we're never paid for Bacanard.
Whatever. We're never going to get paid because you all can't get through, like, what's the name of it? What's going on? Yeah, we have to act like we like it, at least.
Oh, yeah. I love their stuff.
It's a bean.
I don't know anything
about
it.
Some bean company, I don't know.
Well, you know, guys, I keep rejecting. We keep getting these offers for, these elixirs. You know, like
elixirs.
Yeah, and they want to send them to, like, one company did send them to me, and they want you to try them and stuff. But I'm thinking my dick is going to turn green or something. So,
oh God,
I
why would
tried,
they give but, you? But why would those, they send you something that turns what? If they want us to like push it or something, why would they send you something that made your knob turn green? Why
it was just might have been my fear. I don't know if it actually would.
Really? Because all your fears are so fucking rational. You know what?
Well, I will forward these emails to you, and you can drink the fucking elixirs.
No, but I've got kids. They'll do it. Just step to the side. I want to talk to the chandelier.
All right, let me introduce our panel. We're joined, as always, by a lady who is known throughout the kingdom and at Target, I might add, as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
Good. I like seeing you guys now. This is like back to the old days. I can see your faces and the chandelier, and it's amazing.
So, I mean, the chandelier is the star of the show. Let's be honest.
Well, at this point it is. Yeah, it's the narrator. So I'm good, though. I'm good. I enjoy my job at Target.
Good.
Off, if you will, but I enjoy it.
Have you had to fire anyone yet?
No, I don't get to do that part. I just get to gather all of the paperwork.
Oh, okay.
But
have you put a good verbal beat down on anybody yet?
I can tell you that.
Have you made anybody cry, customer or employee? Associate?
No, not yet. They all think I'm super nice. I know. Oh. I know. You know, I reinvented myself. But do you know what I did find out?
Was their last employer? Simon Legree?
Yeah. Patricia Krenwinkle. It's fun. I have a good time and I get to be nice to people. So it's good. I work in the middle of the day. So, I mean, it's not like I get up early or get home late anymore.
Oh, that's good. That's good, Brandy. I know. I'm glad you're doing well there.
So,
I saw that the Target stock shot up. I thought that was probably because of you.
Well, duh. I mean, obviously it was because I am lovely and delightful.
Now, Colonel, I remind you, wrote it down. Camera, so don't do a tubing on us, Colonel.
Oh, my God, a tubing.
I usually only do that on certain episodes, Timmy. The Buried Alive one last week almost got me, but...
Well, I can understand that. That's hot.
Oh, my God.
So, anything else going on there, Brandy?
You know,
we've had a lot of Brandy time so far.
We've had a lot of Brandy time.
We're pretty deep into Brandy time.
Well, I'm going to record some more What the Fuck theaters. I've been slacking. I don't know why, just because, whatever.
I wish you would do Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Let me get to it. I mean, there's only so many bad movies that I can take.
Well, and I think, are we going to turn those into TikTok videos, Thad? Is that the plan?
That's the plan.
And we officially have a YouTube channel now.
And breaking news, we have a YouTube channel.
Fucking crazy.
Created. We've taken this podcast to the next level. So.
Did you build upon the work the last 8 years of... on the YouTube channel, because he set a solid foundation, I'm sure.
I mean, Tim, I stand on the shoulder of giants. I do. And Chuck is that giant, and I have everything that and it's thanks to him.
Does our original videos still stand on the site, Thad?
How about with Rudy?
Or did you create a new site altogether?
Well, the one that I had, I created. But I am always looking for, you know, original classic content. So we should put that on there.
Yeah. Where can they find these things?
It's nothing. It's Rudy. It's nothing fun. He's just a picture of. It's a video of Rudy.
No, it's him as a tiny puppy learning how to sit, and he did it on his first try.
Now see, how's that?
Goddamn
not
amazing thing.
Oh, for fuck's sake! Jeez, so smarter than you.
So to find both History Dweebs on TikTok and YouTube, it's actually just History Dweebs, all one word for both. So if you go to TikTok, type in History Dweeb, you'll see the logo. If you go to YouTube, type in History Dweebs, you'll see the logo. So we're working on adding content, you know, here and there. Right now, there's a couple things on the TikTok channel. There's one video on the YouTube channel, but Brandy's going to start adding her, what is it called? What the Fuck Theater? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I'll probably just send it to you to add. Yeah, I just started calling it What the Fuck Theater.
So I like it. I like it.
Yeah, and I like the title too. It's
funny. And I think Tim's going to get some stuff when he goes out and about, maybe to send over to Ad, and Chuck can take some dog videos. You know what? Whatever.
I mean, it's got the most fantastic dog video that I took the other day. That's just spectacular. Spoiler alert! But we were remodeling the upstairs, and when the rooms were empty and just had carpet, the two dogs went crazy. There was a bed there, and Bo would attack Rudy and then run under the bed. Rudy would go after one part of the bed where Bo went under. Bo would sneak back around the other side and attack him again, run to the next room, run back under the bed. It's just fascinating to watch.
Is it?
It's like Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
It's not like that at all because they're in a room. I mean, they're in a room, so
I feel like you didn't really. I feel you didn't really close the deal on that video, Colonel.
Thank you.
I think we could label them. We could label that as Mild Kingdom.
Mild Kingdom, yes.
Mild Kingdom. Mild Kingdom. Throw that on the TikTok channel.
Oh my God!
Okay, let me introduce a man who is known. He's a best-selling author.
No, he's not.
His book, How to Make Love to a Woman, is on the New York Times bestseller list for the 422nd week in a row.
Wow, that's not true.
Well, there's going to be a revised edition coming up to me, so.
When does the stage play? When does the spoken word stage play come out?
Well, we've got some legal things to work out right now.
I'm sure you do.
I've heard the sound of the Colonel is going to be opening off Broadway.
Yeah.
What?
A few good Colonels.
Oh my God!
Right now, Timmy, I put a disclaimer at the beginning of that book. Just like every exercise book and everything else, please check with your doctor, you know, before you embark on this journey. You know, any kind of physical fitness regimen, please check with your doctor. And people seem to skip those pages because they want to get right to the salacious parts, Timmy.
Well, I understand. I also understand, Andrew Lloyd Webber is working on Colonel of the Opera.
Didn't he die? Isn't that what killed him?
Well, I think he's still alive. Check it out for us, Dad.
Okay.
But my problem, Timmy, is there appears to be, I just this week had to settle a class action lawsuit of people who have been injured after reading my book.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because they're trying to throw themselves into a river or off buildings after they read it.
We're setting up the Colonel Foundation to assist these peoples with their various injuries and try to prevent them. Here's a note, you know, that I got from one listener. And it's Dear Colonel, I loved your book. It has brought me and my husband closer and closer together. However, some of the acts have left me with a hemorrhoid that looks like a groundhog tail. I wish any way you could assist, I would, and it's signed, Standing in Seattle, because the poor woman can't sit. I have another one that, you know, again, it always says, you know, it's brought me and my husband so close together. But now I have terrible carpal tunnel syndrome.
Can you mute his mic?
Lefty from Louisiana. So,
and why is Tim wearing sunglasses? I have a lot of questions. We can mute his mic. I mean, he's not even been introduced yet.
Well, the Colonel is a one-stop Colonel. You can get all your needs met through him.
Well, we're going to start the Colonel Foundation for women injured during, and to me, in a way to give back, you know, because there's a lot of women through their lives. You know, we just paid for a woman who was a little overly enthusiastic after she read the book, and they do vaginal rejuvenations now, Timmy.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
Mute it. Mute his mic.
Maybe. I would say probably if she was like a car, we probably took 80,000 miles off of that ass vagina.
So what are you? What are you calling this, Colonel? This program?
Well, my original, and the lawyers, you know, they're so involved in everything. And I said, well, you know, we'll call the foundation Healthcare for Hoes, Timmy.
Healthcare for Hoes.
Yeah, but they wanted a softer, gentler brand, Timmy. So we're just going with Colonel Care.
Colonel Care. There you go. Care.
Yeah, because the Colonel cares, Timmy.
Yeah, yeah.
Colonel cares. I mean,
sing it.
I'm happy you read the book. I'm sorry you got TMJ now, you know. But I told you, don't do it for more than 7 minutes without taking a break.
I did not wear the shoes for this much bullshit.
Afterwards, put a little bit of ice on your jaw joints, whatever, you know. But I tried to warn the people. These are...
Oh, my God.
I haven't even introduced him yet.
I know.
Basically, I know. The book to me is like training for a triathlon, if you're going to do everything.
Oh, my God.
Well, you got to focus on your health.
Yeah.
And Brandy, just to answer your question, aside from the salary that I get from producing this show,
right?
Chuck gives me some money, we'll just say, under the table to keep his mic on the whole time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't want to bite the hand that feeds me.
Well, consider me Liam Neeson. I will find you. So
let's introduce the man.
Let the chandelier introduce Chuck.
Well, let me first say, because you asked me to look this up, I wanted to tell you Andrew Lloyd Webber is alive and well. He is 75 and alive and kicking. And one weird thing about Andrew Lloyd Webber, he's been married to two women, both named Sarah.
Oh, that's weird.
He has a type. Or he never has to forget a name, right? He's just always Sarah. Right.
He probably has a tattoo.
That's what it is.
Let me introduce a man who is known as an oasis in the desert of despair.
By no one.
We turn to him in these troubled times, a best-selling author, a man of God, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm good, Timmy. I'm good. As I said, my legal problems are waning, and I'm going to come out with a second edition of the book because some of the women felt like, well, you know, how to make love to a woman seems a little sexist, so I'm just going to generalize it to me and just write a book, How to Make Love.
Well, I mean,
it's...
Because, you know, women, they need some help in that area, too.
Well, when we was doing the Buried Alive, how many times have you wondered, am I actually doing it with a corpse here, Timmy, in your lifetime?
You know, there's more about you.
It's like the old adage, the old joke that you don't know if your spouse has died or your partner has died unless the dishes stack up in the kitchen. that's how you know they died. Can't tell if we're making love sometimes, but
I will say blowjobs overall are good.
Generally.
Sometimes they can be too, you know, the women can use too much teeth.
I'm going to talk about molasses.
Well, it's
not to be a weirdo.
Let me throw this one in there real quick. Let me. This one is an old.
It's never real quick.
Old Norm Macdonald joke.
Never real quick.
Where he, Norm Macdonald told a joke. Tells a joke. He says he was.
I don't give a shit.
I don't think he tells him anymore.
His wife was in a coma, and the doctor said, "Well, you know, we're really at last stages here. We're doing desperate measures." He said, "I have seen sometimes oral sex bring a woman out of a coma." And Norm's like, well, I love her. I'm willing to try anything. And he goes in and he comes back out 5 minutes later. And the doctor's like, well, what? How'd it go? And he's like, well, she just kept choking, Doc.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's pretty much par what we
that's
have
classic
here.
Norm McDonald right there.
Well, yeah, he's a good guy.
Not anymore. Right. Sadly, not anymore.
Not anymore. What was that from? That's from that commercial, right?
That Medicare commercial. Sadly, not anymore.
I'm looking. I'm sitting here, Timmy, on this Black Cat of Me site, looking at a beautiful shell wreath, Timmy. They sell some incredible home decor on there.
You know what? Yeah. You know when would be the time for that? When we're actually advertising for them, or maybe at the end. I want to talk about some goddamn molasses so that we can all get on with our day. I want it now.
Okay, let's talk about the Great Molasses Flood. I'm sorry, Great Molasses Flood.
Jesus Christ. A fire? A Great Molasses Fire? I don't know. The molasses is flammable.
Oh, it's flammable.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like either of you fucking know. You couldn't pick molasses out of a lineup of two.
Danny.
Neither one of you fucking know.
Me. Hold on. Uh-oh. Danny's giving me some.
No. You all have never seen a jar of molasses, let alone done jack all with it. So let's not.
But Brandy, have you ever
heard? I'm the only one with molasses saying, experience.
Have you ever heard the saying slower than molasses? Have you heard the saying?
Well, I have children.
Turns out it's not true. Molasses can move very fast. A fact that the Boston residents.
So can I, when I want to.
The fact that Boston residents learned the hard way nearly a century ago, or over a century ago now, it was in 1919, in what was one of the strangest disasters in American history. Just after 12:30 p.m., lunchtime, on January 15th, 1919, a Purity Distilling Company molasses storage tank exploded in the city's north end. As much as 2.3 million gallons of the sticky liquid spilled out in a matter of seconds. To make the matter worse, the molasses thickened once it was exposed to the winter air. After the wave subsided, scores of people laid entombed beneath a substance thousands of times more vicious than water.
How stupid do you have to be to drown in molasses?
Well, it got in their nose and their throats, and then
they couldn't stand up.
Oh, hold
on. Stand the fuck up. That's all they had to do.
Timmy, I just got the data fact safety sheet on molasses from Danny, my assistant here.
You absolutely did
molasses
not.
Molasses will burn at 999 degrees Fahrenheit, Timmy.
There you go.
But once ignited,
so if you put molasses on the sun, it will burn.
Well, but I'm pretty sure, rocks will burn at 990. But anyway, it is flammable. So once again, I was right. You were wrong.
Yes, you are. If you are, well, if you put molasses on the sun, it will catch fire. You got me.
Well, when you it's fermenting, it's fermenting. They're making alcohol out of it, so
yeah.
So why are they making molasses?
First responders to the scene had to wade through feet of molasses to search for survivors. And they pulled 21 dead bodies from the mess. So don't make light of it, Brandy. These poor people were drowned by molasses. Don't make light of their plight.
It just seems improbable, but I'm sure that that's how it happened.
In the early years of the 20th century, Boston's North End was a vibrant neighborhood and commercial center. The North End borders on Boston Bay and employed thousands of people in the shipping and distilling sector. It was also home of millions of Irish and Italian refugees who lived in crowded tenements within the neighborhood. The neighborhood's population was so dense, it rivaled Calcutta in terms of population density. A lot of people. Very busy neighborhood. The Purity Distilling Company, which was a subsidy of the United States Industrial Alcohol Company, purchased... I'm sorry.
The United States Industrial Alcohol Company purchased the DePurity Distilling Company in 1917. Boston had a long history of distilling alcohol for industrial uses as well as personal consumption. In fact, Boston plants had been distilling alcohol long before the American Revolution. The distilling industry of Boston played a key role in chattel slavery. The distilling companies would ship rum and other spirits to Africa in exchange for enslaved people. And then they would sell the enslaved people to sugar plantations throughout the Caribbean. Now, the sugar plantations would send sugar to Boston, and that meant they would distill and turn in to alcohol. The trade continued when plantations in America's Southwest, like in Georgia, South Carolina.
Southeast. That's the Southeast. But yeah, Southeast.
Began grow. Yeah, it's Southeast.
Arizona didn't have a thriving slave industry.
But anyway, they began growing sugar cane, and of course, the use of slave labor. Now, molasses is a thick, dark syrup made during the sugar making process. First, the sugar cane is crushed and the juice is extracted. The juice is then boiled to form some sugar crystals and removed from the liquor. The thick brown syrup left after removing the sugar from the juice is molasses. This process is repeated several times to produce a different type of molasses each time. Now, your thoughts on that so far, Brandy?
I understand all of it because we always had molasses in our house. My mother uses it to make cookies.
Okay.
So we always had it. So I'm pretty sure you all do not have my molasses knowledge.
It is also a good lubricant.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, it is.
Nope. It's absolutely not. It's like syrup, it's thicker than syrup, which is definitely not great for that because it's sticky, you dill hole.
Well,
you're gonna get stuck together and have to go to the friggin' emergency room. Explain that to somebody. Well, we had some molasses.
Well, it depends on who you talk to, I suppose.
I mean, just like Kentucky jelly, this would be Kentucky molasses.
Oh, God, it would be, but no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Sad
molasses can be fermented to produce ethanol, the active ingredient in alcohol beverages and a key component in munitions. So keep that in mind. They could use this substance for munitions.
For bombs.
In the First World War. So that comes into play later. A considerable amount of molasses had been stored there by the company, which used the Harborside Commercial Street tank to offload molasses from ships and to store it for later transfer by pipeline to the DePurity Distilling Company.
A molasses pipeline?
Now, this tank that we're talking about, the molasses tank, stood 50 feet, which is 15 meters for all you folks on
the metric,
metric system, 50 feet tall and 90 feet in diameter, or 27 meters in diameter. So this is a big ass tank. It contained 2.3 million gallons of the sticky stuff. The total amount of the molasses contained in the reservoir tank on Commercial Street, which keep in mind was the busiest street in the North End of Boston, weighed approximately 13 tons. Now, before we continue this story, we have to set a little bit of background, Brandy.
Okay.
We must first discuss what was happening in Boston in the winter of 1919. This was right after the First World War, right?
In the early part of the 20th century, there was also a great deal of labor unrest in the United States. The labor unrest included deadly riots across the country, including in Boston. Boston, where within a span of a year, textile workers and the Boston Police Department went on strikes. Now, as I just mentioned, this was in 1919, the First World War had just ended. There was a great deal of upheaval across Europe. For a time, communists, this is right after the 1917 communist revolution in Russia, and they were trying to spread communism outside of the Soviet Union. Communists for a short time took control of the German government, and a communist was accused of attempting to assassinate the French Prime Minister Clouseau.
Inspector Clouseau?
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is all the background of the story. So there's a lot of shit going on, and there was a lot of anarchist going on across the country, but especially in Boston, nowhere was this fear felt more than the city of Boston, where there had been several bombings. One bombing destroyed a police station in the heart of Boston's North End. The North End was home to millions of immigrants, including Italians and Eastern Europeans, who were looked upon with suspicion since many of the anarchists and communists and socialists were Italian Americans. So there's a lot of distrust going on, Brandy, and I will let Brandy tell you what happens next.
So keep in mind that anti-liquor prohibition and all that was in full swing. Alcohol would be banned in the United States in 1920.
This is when Molly Hatchet was going around.
Yeah. I
don't like that lady.
What was that name of that lady?
Carrie Nation.
Carrie Nation. Yeah, Carrie Nation.
Okay. Isaac Gonzalez, a poor Puerto Rican immigrant, was employed by the Purity Distilling Company to monitor the 50-foot tank that held those 13 tons of molasses.
Well, wait a minute. I kind of like that job, just monitoring a tank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
it's got to be.
It's hard for a 50-ton tank to just run away.
Even a chandelier could watch it.
Yeah, keep somebody keep an eye on that tank for me, could you?
Right. He just needed to make sure there was no leaking or structural problems with the tank. He was also charged with repairing any of those minor leaks.
When I'm not on camera,
have some flex tape on it.
When I'm on camera, you don't know what I'm doing, Brandy.
You are correct. You are absolutely correct there. So as early as 1917, Gonzalez notified his superiors at the Purity Distilling Company that there were significant problems with the tank. In fact, this poor guy spent most of his days fixing leaks. So he was slapping flex tape everywhere. The leaks were so bad and well-known. That the neighborhood children would fill pails of molasses every day that had leaked from the tanks.
Oh, sweet deal. Get free molasses.
Looters. The children were looters.
They were. They were looters.
They needed to have Mr. Gonzalez and a sniper and a little sign that says, "Looters will be shot."
They were Antifa. when Mr. Gonzalez reported these leaks to his superiors, mostly they ignored his claims and felt like he was being an alarmist.
Yeah, so, fucking alarmist.
Well, I wonder what they say now. Oh, that's right, nothing. All right, so Mr. Gonzalez was so afraid of the leaks that he moved his family to another neighborhood so they would be safe. That's looking out. After working a 12-hour shift, Mr. Gonzalez would return home for dinner and then returned to his plant on his own time to repair the leaks that sprang after he went home for the day. So this poor fucker is probably getting paid 5 cents an hour, and he's spending all of his time saving this town, and they don't even know about it. Yeah. See, not all heroes wear capes. After reporting, after repeated warnings to his employer, the company finally took action. Oh, okay. By painting the tank brown so the leaks wouldn't be so noticeable to the general public. Smart. That's looking out.
Well, it was creative. You have to remember.
Who the fuck came up with that? Just paint the motherfucker brown. I mean, that sounds like a Chuck idea. After, let's see, on June 15th. It really does.
I'm sorry, Colonel. That really does.
That's a Chuck idea. Paint some bitch brown. Let's see. On January 15th, 1919,
this, this kind of sucks because they made a movie, Silkwood, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
But this poor son of a bitch, he didn't get a movie.
He didn't, and I think, you know what? You should have Logan work on that.
Yeah. Well, it should just be Gonzalez. I wonder if they have
in big letters.
I wonder if they had a molasses shower. For people that were exposed to molasses, because that's hard to get
scrub down.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Man, it's hard. It is hard to get. It is.
You probably have to use gas to get it off when it's thick like that. I mean, and then sit down, smoke a cigarette.
He was a whistleblower. Gonzalez was a whistleblower. No, I don't think he took it anywhere.
It's whistle. What's a whistle?
He just took it.
You get whistlers at Esty.com. That's where you get whistlers from.
That's where you get whistlers.
Yeah, I'm sure they sell that at Black Cat and Me on Etsy.com.
And do you know what his forebears were known as?
No.
Whistler's mother.
There you go.
All right. This poor guy, but he didn't really take it to the authorities. He just took it to his boss, and they just... We're fucking ignoring
him. And he said, I'm fucking I'm getting the fuck out of here. That's like, you know, when the people who were monitoring the radioactive shit at Three Mile Island moved to New York and New Jersey and Pennsylvania and just said, we're going to keep an eye on it from here. We're going to work remotely.
Exactly.
You know, you got a problem.
There's just so much. I mean, this poor guy is just trying to save his little town. And so, what dickholes.
It reminds me of that guy, Alan McDonald, who was a NASA engineer. And he would not sign off on the Challenger being launched. And he told them it's got problems.
Oh my God.
Launch, and they didn't listen to him. And
that is the greatest I told you so ever.
I know, right?
Ever.
So he got to stand there and say, yeah, I told you this was going to happen, and they didn't listen, and they should have, so.
I know. And you know what? I'm that petty bitch that, I mean, it sucks that all those people died. I totally would be sitting there going, you see that? I told you that was going to happen.
Well,
I fucking told you. Now those people are goddamn dead, and I fucking told you. And I'll do the little dance. I told you so, Dan.
That's why he's not known, because when the Challenger blew up, he started to do a little jig, threw his arms up in there and was like, yes, King of the Engineering Lab. Woo! King of the Engineering Lab, I told you.
I fucking told you, people. Yeah. So, temperatures in Boston on January 15th, 1919, had risen above 40 degrees Fahrenheit. That is 4 degrees Celsius.
I think we should take a little break here and let me mention that Leanne and I went to see the new Indiana Jones movie.
Oh. Okay, I don't care. I would love to care about that, but I don't, because we're in the middle of talking about fucking molasses.
It costs $76.
It costs how much?
For both of us, for a ticket and popcorn and pop, it costs $76.
Well, I told you.
I don't know where the fuck you people are going.
That's a lovely co-host. How are you? And, you know, I told you that Sarah's friends paid $3,000 for us. And I was thinking about that. And I thought, if Taylor Swift were coming to my house cooking dinner and going to say, hey, you know, let's get
into your book. She's pretty young, too.
Oh, no, she's old now. She's like 35 or something.
She's not.
Yeah, Taylor Swift's got to be 35 years old.
Taylor Swift was born in 1989.
So that'd be 11.
She's 34.
34, see? Ha! So anyway, yeah, she's getting long.
Yeah, she's a billionaire. She's a billionaire.
If she was going to make me dinner, she's not half my age. So,
okay, Randy, I would imagine you are a Swiftie.
I don't care one way or the other. I have no opinions. Taylor Swift is fine. I wouldn't pay that much money to see her, although I hear she does a really great show.
I wouldn't pay that much money to marry her.
That's on you, dude. That's stupid.
I mean, she's not Kelly Clarkson, but, you know, what can you do?
Kelly Clarkson. All right, people. So, I'm going to get through this paragraph.
If you could. We've been waiting.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
But
chandelier's broken.
Indiana Jones movie was pretty good.
Was it?
Was it? Because I heard it's really not good.
No, it was. And Oppenheimer will be opening soon. I'm going to go
I do want to see that because I like that guy.
But basically what the takeaway is, Tim, is don't get soda and popcorn or else you're going to spend almost $100.
Oh, my God.
$100 for a movie.
I don't get how kids can date anymore.
I can go watch that. I can go watch Indiana Jones over at my local theater for $5 a ticket and $5 for popcorn and a pop.
Yeah, we went at 4:15, like it was right after the cutoff for matinees.
Do you have one of those cheap theaters by you? We used to have like a Danbury.
Mm. Yeah.
See, we don't have that.
Yeah.
Well, right. Hell, it'll be streaming in a couple weeks, probably.
It will. So that don't you feel stupid? Anyway,
I took my wife out to a movie.
Are you? You went to see Indiana Jones. It's not like you went to go see a chick flick.
He wanted his wife to have the epitome of romance. He wanted his
She likes Indiana Jones. Back to molasses.
Please. On January 15th, 1919, temperatures in Boston had risen above 40 degrees Fahrenheit. That's 4 degrees Celsius for all of you others. And climbing rapidly from the frigid temperatures of the preceding day. And the previous day, a ship had delivered a fresh load of molasses, which would have been warmed to reduce its viscosity for transfer. So all of these molasses are coming from another place, going to be dumped into a cold tank, and it had been warmed so that it could be transferred into that tank. All right, is everybody with me?
With you.
Possibly due to the thermal expansion of the older, colder molasses already inside the tank burst open and collapsed at approximately 12:30 p.m. Witnesses reported that they felt the ground shake and heard a roar as it collapsed. A long rumble similar to the passing of an elevated train. Others reported a tremendous crashing, a deep growling, a thunderclap-like bang, and a sound like a machine gun as rivets shot out of the tank.
Yeah. If you got hit by a rivet, it wouldn't be good.
Nothing worse than a sticky rivet hitting you in the forehead.
Let's see. The first one in the plant to notice the tank failure. Oh, my God. How do you not notice the tank failure when rivets are flying out?
Yeah.
But, okay. Well, and here we go. And I'm going to go ahead and make an assumption here. So, here's
a typo.
This is my favorite. I know it is. I know, but I love it so much.
It's a typo.
I love it. I'm going to read this sentence as written because it makes me happy. So the first one in the plant to notice the tank failure was, of course, an Irish deaf mute named Ryan Flaherty. I assume it's deaf mute.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I have a lot of questions about, let's just assume that we have the proper word in there, deaf.
Who's he going to tell?
Well, A, who's he going to tell? And B, how is the deaf guy the first one to notice that the tank is giving out?
Well, probably when the sticky rivet hit him in the side of the face.
Wait a minute. Does everybody else have their AirPods in and they just can't hear it? Like, what's happening?
Here's what.
And is he just going to yell his hands off?
When it was described in this. And in this book, Dark Tide is the name of the book. Dark Tide is the name of a book about this. And this this deaf mute.
Oh my God.
He was facing the tank. And like everyone else was facing away from the tank. And when he saw it, he pointed to it and started making sounds, but of course he couldn't talk. They couldn't understand what he was saying.
Of course they couldn't.
And what I love about that is he was telling that story, and all I see is your finger. So the deaf guy tries to save the day. He tried to warn his friends who were facing away from the tank, but they thought he was merely playing a game of charades. It's his favorite game and the game that he's best at. Were they looking at him while the molasses are coming toward him going, book, it's a book, no? What?
Sounds disaster. Like.
Film. I mean, Jesus, people. God damn it. Yeah, exactly. So they thought he was playing charades. So when I love all of this. This entire paragraph is just gold. When he couldn't get his friend's attention, Ryan ran the fuck off.
He wasn't crippled.
Because then he was not crippled and he wasn't stupid. Yeah. Because then his stupid fucking friends turned around just in time to see a 50-foot wall of molasses swallow them whole.
And this really should be a people, you need to learn sign language for your own safety.
Yes, that's a good public message here, Colonel. But you know, I didn't write this in here, but this guy became this deaf mute became a hero because he helped people get out of it. He tried to help his buddies, obviously, and it didn't work, but he helped pull people out of the molasses.
Well,
so shout out to Ryan Flaherty, but I guess he doesn't.
Too bad he couldn't shout out to us. Anyway.
I guess he doesn't listen to podcasts.
Probably not. Yeah, but we have a YouTube channel.
It's true.
That's true. All right. So the wave was of sufficient force to drive steel panels of the burst tank against the girders of the adjacent Boston elevated railways. So it took out the E-train.
Yeah.
The molasses twisted the rails and made them unusable. The engineer of the train was stunned by the events and was able to climb past,
yeah,
the damaged tracks to warn another train minutes before it would have crashed into Commercial Street, some 30 feet below. So it took out the E-train.
He was a hero too, the engineer.
He was a hero. Those who witnessed the disaster firsthand spoke of the power of the giant wave of molasses that descended on Boston's North End. According to the Boston Globe, a man named B.E. Kingsley, who worked in an office near the tank, said he heard a rumble that he thought was the E-train, and when it didn't stop, however, he looked out of his window. The fuck, are they just against looking out windows? Like, it has to be...
Well, I think Mr. Kingsley wasn't he in a rehearsal for Gandhi at that time?
It might have been.
I guess. So, Jesus. So where the tank had stood, there was no tank, Kingsley recalled. Instead, it was a mighty wall of some kind, a giant wave of molasses, and it was sweeping rapidly down upon the office, gaining momentum every second. There was no escape from the wave. Caught, human beings and animals alike could not flee. Running in it was impossible. Snared in its flood was to be stifled. Once it smeared ahead, human or animal, there was no coughing up the sticky mass. To attempt to wipe it with hands was to make it worse. Most of those who died from suffocation. It plugged nostrils almost airtight.
Oh yeah. My God. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't cough it out.
I know.
Well, where would it go? Hundreds of injured and dying people lay trapped in the sea of molasses.
Although I would say if you were having it was 12 noon, so it was lunchtime, but if you were having breakfast and you had some pancakes out there, it would just dip, you know, as it go by your window, you can just kind of dip.
You think just people just stick their forks out the window and get in all that?
I mean, you know, making lemonade out of lemons.
You got to do what you can.
Yeah.
Yes, those are the let them eat cake people are in, aren't safe. They're just dipping their fucking pancakes in, you know, human waste.
Would you, all right. Now, just a quick question, Devil. Do you prefer pancakes or French toast?
It depends. Like, it really does. It depends on where it's from. I like French toast. But like Cracker Barrel, I love their pancakes and their French toast. But if I'm going to the original pancake house, then you got to get pancakes.
I'm a French toast person myself.
It just depends. I like, my husband makes amazing pancakes.
I like spongy pancakes. I don't like the thick kind of cakey pancakes.
My wife makes French toast. It's good.
Is it French?
Yeah.
No. Hundreds of injured and dying people lay trapped in a sea of molasses. Debris from the destructions of vehicles and buildings littered the streets. Part of the E-train trestle had even collapsed. It would take hours to pull survivors from the wreckage and months to clean up the mess.
You know, the street cleaners are like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
The snow removal people are like getting their shit. All right, guys, I know it's summer. Let's get it going. Snow removal guys had lots of overtime. Charles, do you want to read this or do you want me to read it?
Go ahead, Devil. I'm just I'm thinking back to times that
Okay, I'll read it.
In my book, I warn people not to leave your mate covered in a sticky mess.
And molasses, sure. It's words to live
not
by.
Not necessarily molasses, but just don't leave it.
Whatever.
Because you know there was a bunch of women running around Boston saying, "Ah, oh, they got it my hair. They got it my hair." So
I don't think they were. I think they were happy to be alive. This is why I'm going to go ahead and read this, because you're a terrible person.
In your book, do you address the wet spot?
I do address the wet spot. It's common courtesy to me to, I advise people to put a plastic sheet down first. Because you get into things. Well, no, I mean, you try to do the flying squirrel from chapter 17. You're going to need a plastic sheet because you got all kinds of baby oil, coconut oil, things that are just going to make a mess. So throw some plastic.
First of all, you do understand if that happens, you're flying off the bed. Like if you got a plastic sheet down and you decide to cover yourself in Wesson oil, you're not staying on that bed. Like, you're flying off at every opportunity.
Clearly, you haven't read the book because you got to use the coconut oil behind the knees. You put some lubricant on your elbows.
Up like baby bumpers around the outside of the bed.
Well, you just use a lot of pillows. I mean, you don't want someone bouncing off the bed and flying out the window. No. It's like a slip and slide for adults, Devil.
I know. The chandelier has gone away from me and I feel sad. Okay, so in the hours following the disaster, crowds rushed to the scene to survey the damage and free those who were trapped in the molasses or beneath the rubble. Rescuers used hatchets and crowbars in an attempt to reach the people who were pinned by debris. Others just reached into the sticky.
God damn it, quit hitting me with the crowbar. It's only ankle deep, you son of a bitch.
Well, oh my God. They reached into the liquid to pull victims to the surface and came back up with severed limbs. Hmm. What?
I don't know.
How are molasses that sharp? You know what?
Well, you have to remember that these buildings were being destroyed, crushed.
Well, I have it that the molasses was just going so fast, it just cut right through people.
Well, it was shooting rivets, and I suppose there was all the shrapnel in there.
Oh, yeah. All right. So the North End's fire department building was completely destroyed by the flood, as were many of the homes and businesses on the neighborhood's busy commercial street.
But do you know whose home was not destroyed?
I was just going to say that.
Gonzalez.
That's right. God damn it.
He was standing on the roof of his tenement saying, doing the little dance, saying, I told you so. I told you so.
He is sucking on a Sam Adams right on his porch, watching these dumb white people wouldn't listen to me.
Yeah.
Fuckers. Let's see. Here and there. Okay. Here and there struggled a form. Okay. Timmy. Here and there struggled a form, whether it was animal or human being, it was impossible to tell. Only an upheaval, a thrashing about in the sticky mess, showed where any life was. Horses died like so many flies on sticky wallpaper.
Oh, stop. Stop. Let's just go back and enjoy that statement, that writing.
Wait a minute.
Timmy had horses died.
Because everything's like spelled correctly. So all of the tenses are there. I know. It's poetry.
That's Hemingway.
But again,
Timmy.
I'm pretty sure. Thank you, Phil. He probably copied that from wherever. But
no, there I'm is very a great proud of it. There is a great book on this topic. Dark Tide. Yes.
Right. Did you take that line out of there? Because I feel like you might have.
I don't know.
I want to give a plug to this book because almost all the research was from this book. It's called Dark Tide by Stephen Puello. P-U-L-E-O. Yeah.
Is it available on Amazon?
Yeah. And right, Audible, too. Audible and as well. Yeah. It's great.
All right.
Great book.
So.
Good read.
All right, so like quicksand, the more they struggled, the deeper in the mess they were ensnared.
Well, everybody knows it's quick molasses, too. If you're in a pool of molasses, just be still and move slowly. The more you struggle, the quicker you're going to
sink. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you have so many molasses-related tragedies, mm-hmm. I feel like you have to pick up something along the way.
Yeah. You know,
and we've had one.
Speaking of Indiana Jones...
We weren't.
Colonel, my irrational fear growing up was that someday I would have to run from a great big ball.
Mine was that I would have to navigate where spears are going to fly at me if I stepped on the wrong stone. When I walked to Findlay Market for lunch, Timmy, I still think that any sidewalk paver I might hit might shoot a spear at me.
Sure.
So.
Well, my fear when I was younger was being on a podcast with two dipshits that don't ever stay on topic. That was my fear. And so, great. Here we are. I can handle anything. So, the more they struggled, the deeper they went. Men and women suffered likewise. The flood of molasses was 50 foot tall and progressed at more than 35 miles an hour. It engulfed everything in its path, destroying homes, businesses, automobiles, and trucks.
Now, cars at the time could travel at 5 miles per hour.
So it wouldn't have done you any good to get in your car and drain
you
down.
No.
Yeah.
Caught up with you.
Yeah, that would have been dumb. So the thick substance killed humans and an unknown number of horses. Over the next 4 days, Red Cross workers, police, firefighters, and the U.S. Army and Navy personnel combed through the rubble.
Yeah.
Let's see. All told, the Boston Molasses disaster left 21 people dead, 150 injured, while causing over $7 million in property damage. So that would have been like $100 million today. Despite the extent of the disaster, it could have been worse. If the deaf mute hadn't been out there, it could have been worse. Let's see. Had the accident occurred in the summertime, the streets and nearby park would have been filled with children who on this day were safe at school.
You know what would have sucked? What could have changed history? If Paul Revere was a deaf mute.
Yeah, would have.
Just ride.
He was the only one riding that night, right?
Yeah.
He was like one of four guys, but he gets all the credit.
Yeah, it would have changed history if, you know.
We're trying to do sign language like that in the dark.
Helen Keller had gone to let everybody know that the British were coming.
Well, Helen Keller is ridiculous. She was blind. She couldn't ride a horse.
In fact.
Why couldn't she ride a horse?
Helen Keller couldn't ride a horse.
Why couldn't she?
Because she couldn't find the son of a bitch. She was blind.
I bet she couldn't
even find the goddamn barn.
She couldn't say, you know what? Whoa.
Oh, my God, you idiot. You know what? And yet, Helen Keller's done more with her life than the three of us combined. So, there's that.
I question that.
I do question that. And I know one thing for sure. I could beat Helen Keller in ping pong.
Yes, you probably could. Yeah. And it's spades. I mean, you probably could do all those things.
And one-on-one basketball, Colonel.
Goddamn right. Goddamn right.
You know, Paul Revere was captured that night. People forget that. Just saying.
I didn't forget it. I just don't care.
Who was captured that night?
Civil suits. Paul Revere. A series of civil suits followed the incident. And after 3 years of hearing, United States Industrial Alcohol Company paid more than $600,000 in out-of-court settlements to the victims and their families. That's more than $8.4 million today.
Doesn't seem like a lot.
It was one of the very first class action suits in the United States. And it went on for 3 years. It was like they had 921 people testify.
Why isn't this in the script? Is this just one of the things that you like to lord over us because you wrote the script?
I just want to tell you what happened because there's a fascinating lawsuit.
I know what happened.
The company was claiming that.
Wait a minute! That's my part. That's my part, and this is hilarious.
Okay.
The company argued that the accident was caused by a terrorist attack.
Goddamn right!
Because that's what they go for first are the molasses tanks.
Well. But
you want to shut down the United States?
Keep in mind, there was a lot of bombings by anarchists at that time. The Boston police station in that neighborhood had been bombed. The company, as I mentioned earlier, that they made alcohol, but they also helped with munitions.
Munitions, right.
And the anarchists was, you know, they were against the war. And two ships from the United States Industrial Alcohol Company had sank mysteriously carrying molasses. It sank in the ocean, two of them.
Oh, yeah.
And it was never solved why they sunk. And they had people making phone calls prior to this threatening to blow up the tank. Ooh. So it wasn't as argument as it seems.
It was probably fucking made up. But anyway, they probably made that shit up to avoid responsibility.
Sure.
So it wasn't the tank's failure. It wasn't all the leaking that poor little guy had to keep going back and fixing. It was a terrorist attack.
Was this like the Kennedy thing where they tried to make Gonzalez the patsy?
Probably. Gonzalez is gone. Gonzalez got his money and moved his people out.
Gonzalez probably didn't even get a dime. He just got the satisfaction of knowing he was right.
He told you so. Yeah, he did the dance.
And the poor motherfucker didn't even have a job after that.
Probably not. Well, no, he just got on with the cleanup crew. The jury didn't buy this argument because it's stupid. As the company's owner gave testimony where he admitted in a deposition that he personally ordered the tank built with a safety rank of 3. But in testimony, okay, so he admitted in a deposition, but when he went to testify, he could not tell the court what a safety factor of 3 even meant. So he was awesome. Let's see. Expert witnesses for the plaintiff, like Mr. Gonzalez, showed the disaster was a direct result of the company's cost-saving effort, which ignored industry safety measures. Hmm. It has been said that the sweet smell of molasses could be noticed in Boston's North End for decades to come.
Yeah, like through the 1960s. So this is 1999, so 40 years.
In 2019, a ceremony was held at the previous site of the disaster in Boston's North End. So... Yeah.
Brandon,
did they honor Mr. Gonzalez, who is the fucking hero of this whole thing?
No, they didn't honor him, and they didn't honor Brian Flaherty, the deaf mute. Mm-hmm.
Well, in honesty, all of his friends were dead now, so nobody could honor him.
Right. Well, he wouldn't be able to listen to
it. He couldn't tell anybody that that's what he did anyway.
Yeah. Is there a statue anywhere of heroic deaf mute?
No.
See?
You're right.
I hope if they do make a statue, they will make it in Braille so he will be able to.
So the blind people can?
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you, Brandy, what's your final thoughts on the Great Molasses Flood?
In my mind, I know it probably went very fast and it caught people off guard, obviously. But in my mind, it's just this slow roll of thick molasses that's coming down and people standing there going, and it just kind of slow. No. It's like getting run over by a Zamboni.
No, it was like 35 miles an hour. I mean, it was booking.
But still, I feel like you could get out of its way somehow. But all those people didn't need to die. Go to higher ground. I mean, do anything. But whatever. Ask Chuck what he thinks. Because I'm sure it's...
Well, you know what I was thinking, Timmy, when you were talking about Braille? How come when you go to the ATM, Timmy, have you noticed that the little keypad, they got a Braille thing?
No.
Yeah. The keys got little Braille dots on them. The fuck blind people doing driving up to a drive-thru, Timmy?
Oh, I know. I see that all the time. Drives me
that's
crazy.
Probably, that's an appliance thing, I guess.
Yeah. That's just seems redundant. I believe me and Ellie De La Cruz could have outrun the molasses, Timmy.
You think so, Colonel?
I think I would have. I would have outsmarted the molasses. Molasses is not that smart. I would have just run to the second floor of a building.
We want to thank...
That's what I said!
I got a couple of shout-outs here to a couple of new listeners who've joined our Facebook group, the Friends of History Dweebs. And it's Danielle Randall Berry. So, Danielle, thank you for joining us.
Yes, Daniel.
And Mike Gibson. Thank you, Mike, for joining. Yeah. So, thank you for joining. Thank you for listening, and thank you for joining our Facebook group. Next week, we will go down through the whole list of Patreon supporters. But if you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little or, Colonel...
Or just a wee little bit to me.
I forgot to ask Thad his final thoughts on the Boston molasses.
Did you get
flood.
A new mic, Thad?
I did. I got a new microphone because I dropped mine and broke it. So take better care of your equipment, kids. It's important. So
that's in my book, as a matter of fact.
Take care of your equipment? Yes. Your equipment.
Don't drink elixirs that are going to turn your junk purple.
That's right. You don't want that. But I had two thoughts. One, to piggyback off of the Colonel's Braille at the ATM, was that I've noticed also when you go to a fast food drive-up, they say, if you need a Braille menu, please ask for one.
Yes.
So two things. One, why are you driving if you're blind? And two, how the hell do you see it if you're blind to ask for one?
Yeah.
Just weird things. And the second thing I wanted to say was, again, I wanted to plug our TikTok channel and our new YouTube channel. Just search for History Dweebs on both, and we will be putting up more and more content in the future.
Yeah, and you'll find What the Fuck Theater there as well. So a reminder for your home decor, visit Black Cat and Me at Etsy.com. Use code DWEEB15 for 15% off. Okay, thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Good day.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thinking my dick is going to turn green.
I fucking told you. Now those people are goddamn dead, and I fucking told you.
I'm happy you read the book. I'm sorry you got TMJ now.
Like either of you fucking know, you couldn't pick molasses out of a lineup of two.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.